The doctrine of fear. Before we get to the doctrine of fear, we covered the doctrine of faith last time, but we neglected to put in one critical verse under the faith rest technique. We identified Hebrews chapter 11 as the faith rest technique in a way that you use the concept of fear, but specifically, we want to include the verse of Hebrews 11:6, in which says, "And without faith," and that word is pistis, and here it refers to faith rest. Now, you can't have faith rest unless you know the promises of God. So you can't use the faith rest technique unless you have faith in terms of Bible doctrine, which we also studied. So what comes first, faith rest or faith? Faith. Faith means the body of information that's believed, and faith rest is the technique that you use. You have pressure, you claim the promise, and you relax. And that was the Old Testament modus operandi. Our modus operandi is the filling of the Holy Spirit. They couldn't do that. But they could use the faith rest technique, and that's all what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about. So it says, and without faith, which is, you can write in your Bible, faith rest, that's a problem-solving device. We'll get to that in detail. We'll get to the P's. So, and without faith rest, it is impossible to please him. Him is who? God. You can't please God unless you apply Bible doctrine to reality, and that's what faith rest is. That's part of the R's that we put up, the 8 R's. You have a problem? Well, you faith rest it. It's a problem-solving device. For he who comes to God must believe. Now, that's the other word that we use in the doctrine of faith, and that's pisteo, or pistuo. And that means faith in terms of what is believed. And that's salvation faith. As here it says, he who must believe, have confidence in, that he is, in other words, that God exists, of course, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So God will give you rewards beyond your imagination if you simply do what the verse tells you to do. You can't please God without faith. You can't please him by going to holy roller activities or, you know, ecumenical nonsense or being good to people and feeling good and doing all these things. That doesn't please God. What pleases God is God. When God looks into your soul and sees Bible doctrine, he is pleased. When you apply Bible doctrine, he is pleased. And this is language of human accommodation. And he's a rewarder of those who seek him. And, of course, we have it all here because who seeks God? There's that battery again, the negative and the positive poles. That's the believer on positive volition. And how many are those out there in the world? Anecdotal evidence, but based on the Word of God, not many. Not many. Not many. They don't seek God. They seek themselves. They want self-sufficiency. They want ecumenical concepts. The Bible's too dogmatic. You've got to include everybody. It's too exclusive. Well, of course it's exclusive. That's what Joshua said. Choose today. Who are you going to follow? You're going to follow God or you're going to follow these other religious ideas? For me and my family, beep, 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 beep. I'm in charge of this family as long as the kids are there. You're going to Bible class. When you move out and on your own, you know, just between you and the Lord, that's your problem. And of course, in the New Testament, there's no other name given whereby you must be saved. That's it. There is no other way. There's no all roads lead to Rome. There's one way, but that's very harsh. And it's not loving. It's not kind. See how subtle the devil is? We studied, of course, the cosmic systems. And that's what they come back at you with. But you're too dogmatic. You're supposed to love everybody. Of course, they mean phileo love, which they don't even know the difference between agape and phileo. Okay, so that's our cap to the doctrine of faith. And now we're in the doctrine of fear. Everybody should have a handout that says fear on it. And we'll see what the doctrine of fear is all about. First of all, we start out with our usual practice, which is to define the term, because you can't discuss something until you define it. The Greek word phobos, it can mean two things. And we have the same concept in our own English language. Fear means two things. If you look it up in the dictionary, you have the primary meaning and the secondary meaning. So one meaning is respect or awe. You know, you have fear of something, you're just in awe of it. And the other meaning is you're a coward. On the battlefield, you're a coward. You have fear. In fact, many people on the battlefield, they freeze up, and the enemy just kills them. They just freeze up. They can't do anything. So you have a positive connotation, and you have a negative connotation. The Hebrew equivalent for the Greek word phobos is ira, or meg or ha. And those are the Hebrew equivalents for the word phobos. Point two, the word fear, when used to express deep respect, is always focused towards a member of the Trinity. So this is the positive meaning of the word fear. Job 1:8, 8:28, Psalm 19, 7-9, 34, 11-14, 119 to 60 and 63, 119 verse 63, Proverbs 1:7, 10:27, Isaiah 50:10, Ecclesiastes 7:17-18. Why do I read all these verses? There's many more verses for the concept. When you make a proposition in the law, you've got to add some citations. So we don't have all the citations. I read them because it might become a time when somebody doesn't have access to the book we're going to produce, but they have access to the website. They're going to say, where are those citations? And so they can rewind the tape and write down the citations and look them up. But I know you have them in front of you. That's why I read them. If you ever wondered, well, I can read. Why you got to read it for me? Well, we're reading it for another audience. Job 1:8. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Job's a mature believer at the top of his game. For there's no one like him on the earth. He was the most mature. Now, somebody's got to be the most mature believer, right? At any given time, there's one believer that's the most mature believer on the earth. So we can say that Paul held that position at one time. Who holds it today? I don't know. But somebody holds it. But we know that at the time that this was spoken, Job held that distinction. He's the most mature believer on the face of the planet. For there's no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man. Now, Job sinned. He had a sin nature, but he used the rebound technique. So this refers to the fact that he is very hot for Bible doctrine. He studies Bible doctrine. He metabolizes. He thinks about it. He wakes up. He goes to sleep. He's always the first thing on his mind. Number one priority. Fearing, and that's yare, which means to respect. He's not afraid of God in terms of cowardly fear. He respects God. And turning away from evil, ra, evil. Evil, of course, is a system, the cosmic system. Evil consists of human good as much as it consists of what you think is evil, which is, you know, the big five. Any Baptists in here, you can tell me what the big five are. They've got some sins. That's evil. But they don't know that the other side of the coin is also evil. Human good is dastardly evil. It's horribly, insidiously evil. Because that's what traps most of mankind, is human good. They're trapped by it. They think they're saved by being good. And, of course, Christians that don't know Bible doctrine, they think they are pleasing God by whitewashing the devil's world. And we're going to have this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do the other thing, and we're going to bring peace on the earth. You're not going to bring peace on the earth. I hear this stuff all the time. We're going to bring a better world. No, you're not. It's impossible. Either you're lying or the Word of God is lying. I choose you. But I just sit there and listen to them and, you know, kind of just roll my eyes a little bit to myself. And so Psalm 119:63, I'm a companion, that means to be united with, of those who fear, that same word, respect you, and those who keep, which means shamar, means to keep, to guard, your precepts. And that means your statutes. That's Bible doctrine. This is David speaking. No, sorry, this is not David speaking. This is the writer of Psalm 119, which is, I think we speculated, is probably the great-grandson of Ezra, perhaps. But it's someone that was one of these kids that was chained up and marched on that long march from Jerusalem to Babylon in the year 586 B.C. when the city was destroyed, utterly destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans. Why was it destroyed? Because they turned against Bible doctrine. And God wiped them out. But he did say, after 70 years, I'll reestablish you, you'll come back. So he says, I identify myself with those who respect God. And we all make that choice. Who are you going to hang out with? Are you going to hang out with Bible doctrine, or are you going to hang out with the cosmic systems? You make that choice. You're a royal priest. You decide. But remember, Hebrews 11, chapter 6, he's a rewarder of those that seek him. You'll get no rewards if you hang out with the human good crowd or the cosmic system crowd. Isaiah 50:10, who is among you that fears, respects the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, which is Isaiah the prophet? Isaiah was authorized to put out Bible doctrine. He was a prophet. God told him what to say, and he said it. So who obeys the voice of his servant, Isaiah the prophet, that walks in darkness and has no light? The walking in darkness, of course, refers to those outside of a positive volition. If you're on negative volition, your cosmic system, you're walking in darkness. You have no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. So you trust in the name of the Lord. That's what you do. And trust, of course, is the faith rest technique. Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you trust in God. You got a problem, trust in God. You recognize the problem, and you can actually have a chuckle over the problem. You say, really? That's the problem? Not even logical. But okay, that sounds good to me. Whatever happens, happens. I don't lose any sleep over it. King David reached that point. I mean, you're talking about your problems. There was a time when his own son, his favorite son, Absalom, was coming after him to kill him. And that's when he wrote Psalm 23. He had already fled out of the city, and he went into, and his advisor said, man, you better keep moving. You know, in the military, if you're being pursued by a superior force, you don't spend the night. You keep moving, and you zig and zag. You don't have time to spend. You do a night march. You march all night long, and maybe the next day and the next night until you the troops collapse. He didn't do that. He marched out with his small little cadre, and they bivouacked for the night. They didn't go that far. People said, wow, man, we're going to be slaughtered. And yes, if Absalom would have followed up on the pursuit, he'd kill them all. But he didn't, because God controls history. So what did King David do? He'd lost everything. He'd been kicked out of his kingdom by his own son. Did he boo-hoo the whole night and fret and worry and cry? No, he went to sleep like a baby. And he's out. You know, that's it. I don't know if your spouse and different spouses have different sleeping things. One spouse goes to sleep in like 3 seconds. The other one says, I'm still awake for an hour. Why do you go to sleep so quick? No, it's just the way it goes. He went to sleep. Now, you can't fake that. And they didn't have, you know, codeine and all that other stuff. He just went to sleep because he was trusting in the Lord. The Lord was more real to him than the exigencies of the problems. And they were big problems. But the Lord was more real. He was focused on eternity. If you've got your mind focused on time, yeah, you'll fall apart. Your mind's focused on eternity. So what? And that's what David did. And we have Psalm 19, 7 to 9. The law of the Lord, which is Bible doctrine, is perfect, which means it's complete, it's whole, restoring the soul, the nephesh. Now, restoring means the soul's got to be screwed up. Well, the soul is screwed up, because without Bible doctrine, you are all screwed up. It restores your soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, aman. That means I believe it. Hebrews 15, 6, Abraham amaned in the Lord. We call it amen. Making wise the simple. That's us. At one time, we were all simple. And I've got other words for it, but that's a nice word, simple. That's all of us. If you had a religious background, you're not only simple, you're an idiot and simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, leib. In other words, when you reach a certain stage of Bible doctrine and you realize, for example, you can't lose your salvation, that's got to be a good feeling. And emotion can be hooked up to your mentality. There's nothing wrong with that. So rejoice the heart, because you know the Lord's going to control everything. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear, same word, respect of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether. God is absolute perfection. Absolute perfection. So of course you're going to have respect for absolute perfection. Ecclesiastes 7, 17 to 18, written by Solomon. Do not be excessively wicked, and do not be a fool. Someone's a fool is right here. If you're on negative volition, you reject Bible doctrine, you're a fool. You're an absolute fool. So do not be a fool. Why should you die, muth? We've seen that word muth before, remember? That's the exact same word that God said to Adam and Eve, muth. And he said it twice. Dying, you will die. Muth, muth. You eat that fruit, dying, spiritual death, you will die. Physical death, muth, muth. That's the word, our old friend muth, the Hebrew word for death. So why should you die before your time? Yeah, why should we die before our time? I don't want to die before my time. That's called the sin unto death. And the sin unto death is reserved to everybody in this room. Good news and bad news, folks. It's too late. You can't go back. You have been exposed to accurate Bible teaching. And now you can't say, well, I didn't know anything. The believer that has no Bible doctrine in their brain, they're not really candidates for the sin unto death. They don't know anything. They can't be reversionistic. Reversionism means you're going backwards. Well, if you never went anywhere, you can't go backwards. Paul was in reversionism. He was a candidate for the sin unto death. Job was in reversionism. He was a candidate for the sin unto death. But most Christians today, they're not candidates for the sentence unto death. You are. So congratulations, you've arrived. You're at the special category now, where if you turn your back on the truth, you're toast. Absolute toast. And that goes for me as well. Now, are you going to slip and fall off the wagon? Yeah, got another news for you. Yes, you will. We all do. So what do you do when you fall off the wagon? Well, you get back on the wagon, or the horse, or whatever the metaphor is. You get back on it. If you don't get back on it, like Saul, you will die the sin unto death. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. It will be a miserable death, too. It's not going to be a happy death. You're going to suffer like you can't believe. And then you'll die and go to heaven. So he says, why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp one thing, which is Bible doctrine, and also not let go of the other, which is living in time. It's a good thing to live in time, because guess what? When you die, game over. You can't say, well, I'm going to go to a purgatory and I'll have another chance to advance to mature levels for all eternity where I can be a mature believer for all eternity. Nope, that's it. Game over. Game over. When you take your last breath, you have no more opportunities to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to reach maturity, to receive your rewards. That's it. This is the only short time frame you have. So therefore, knowing that the time is very short, and even if you live 80 years, it's very short. What are your priorities? I got to go to the Astro game. I got to do this. That's not a priority. Relative to Bible doctrine, there is no other priority. Are you kidding me? Really? Really? That's more important than Bible doctrine? And whatever it is, just fill in the blank. And we all have, you know, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. So he says, why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp the one thing, Bible doctrine, also not let go of the other, living in time. For the one who fears God comes forth with both of them. If you respect God, which means you can't respect what you don't know, you get both of them, dude. You get a long life, and you get to be a mature believer for in time and in eternity. Who doesn't want that? Well, apparently most Christians don't want that. They don't want it. Why do I know they don't want it? Well, I've been around a few years and I've seen them. I've seen them from A to Z and up and down and A to B. And I'm constantly amazed when they're exposed to Bible doctrine that they say, nah, don't want it. Really? Yeah, really. I mean, that's basically what they're saying. They use different languages and different expressions, but that's what you're saying. So Ecclesiastes 7:17-18, what a great sense of humor. Why should you die early? Because you're an idiot. Okay, verse 3. The word fear is used for respect for those in authority. Colossians 3:22. Slaves, doulos, and that means a slave. Today we don't have slavery in this country. In certain parts of the world they have slavery. Africa still has slavery, real chattel slavery. Today we don't. We have employees and employers. If you're an employee, you are, in our culture, you're a slave. The boss is the boss. You ain't the boss. The boss tells you to do something, you do it. You might say, well, I don't agree with it, but you do it anyway. So slaves, in all things, obey, and that's the strongest word for authority, hupokao, to hearken to a command. That's a military command. Those who are your masters on earth, not with external service, and that is that where we get the word optometry. And you could twist your tongue around that one. Ophthalmoleui. There we go. I slaughtered the word. Which means service performed only under the master's eye. You see this, like, we'll just use our example today. And you've seen this in movies or more written about this. You know, the boss comes in, that person's smoking and joking, but as soon as they know the boss coming in, they're like, duh, 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 and they have you go over there smoking and joking. You've been working the whole time. And the boss looks at that person and says, man, are you a slug? And the other person is smiling because they know they're the slug. But while the boss is watching, they're working like double time. When the boss is gone, doing nothing at all. As those who merely please men, but with sincerity, hap lotes, which means singleness of mind, of heart, that's your mind, fearing, phobeo, respect the Lord. So, if you're a slave, be the best slave there ever was. Now, you're not going to get that from modern society, because slavery's evil. And when they wrote this, slavery was real. It wasn't employer to employee, you're a slave. And the Bible never said, slaves, rise up, in the name of Christianity, throw off the yoke, and demand your freedoms, and march down the streets. Never said that. They said the exact antithesis. If you are a slave, be the best slave you can be. So if we parlay that in today's society, what does that mean? Stay out of social action. Stay out of it. If you're downtrodden, be the best downtrodden you can be. And we always have the downtrodden. But see, and of course, if you're a Christian, this is a Christian. This is written to a Christian. God knows you're a downtrodden. Well, he has a purpose for you being a downtrodden. He's going to use you in a special way in the devil's world to glorify you and him. The blind man, congenital blindness all his life, sat there begging for money. Remember we said that in Matthew? Now, he's a downtrodden, but God used him in a marvelous way. He had a wonderful sense of humor. He became a born-again believer, and he was very positive to doctrine. Verse 4, the word fear, when used for emotional cowardness, 1 Samuel 17:11-24, 1 Samuel 18:12-29, Proverbs 10:24, Proverbs 29:25, 2 Timothy 1:7. So this is the negative side. And, of course, we study the doctrine of emotion. Proverbs 10:24, what the wicked fears will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. The more things you fear in life, the more things you fear. The more things you fear in life, the more things you fear. As Shakespeare said it pretty good, a coward dies 1,000 times, but they can only kill a brave man 1 time. That's it. Cowards are afraid of everything, and the more things they fear, the more things they fear. So that they won't even go to, I don't even go outside the house. They get phobias. I can't even go outside the house anymore. Went to a different movie theater last night, and I, you know, made sure my gun was in the right position because I'm not familiar with the area. But I wasn't afraid to go in the movie theater. You know, my wife's got her firearm in her purse, and I've got mine, and we sit in a position where we can, you know, defend ourselves if we have to in the theater. Totally different environment, totally different theater. I won't tell you which one, but the other side of town. I'm not familiar with the place. So, yeah, my red alert was a little more cautious than usual. But I wasn't afraid. I was just cautious. I'm doing what normal people do. I'm very afraid of, you know, but I was having a healthy respect for the new environment that I was in. And so the more things you fear, the more things you fear. So don't fear. Bible doctrine casts out fear. What do you got to be afraid of? So, the boss mistreats you? Well, he's still the boss. You can recognize that the boss is not being fair, but you say, okay, what's your orders? I will do your orders. And I'll do it faithfully to the best of my ability. I'm not going to half-ass the job. Whatever the job is, I do to the best of my ability. And you will see people saying, dude, you're working too hard. Not really. I'm not working that hard. But relative to what am I working hard? So whatever your duty is, you just do the best you can. That's what you're called to do. And so what the wicked fear, it's going to happen to you. Because the more you fear, your dreams will come true. Let me just put it that way. If you're a coward, your dreams will come true. 5, the believer is told not to fear in terms of facing any problem in life. Exodus 14:13-14. Stand still and watch the deliverance of the Lord. Deuteronomy 31:6-8, Joshua 8:1, 1 Chronicles 28:20, John 6:20, Hebrews 13:5-6. Make sure that your character, tropos, which is your manner of life, is free from the love of money. And of course, this one's, notice the word phil there, personal love. Remember that? Phileo, personal love. Philargyros, which means not loving money, not avaricious. You're avarice. That's all you live for is money. Being content, archeo, to be satisfied with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, bothos. I will not be afraid, phobeo. What will man do to me? Really, dude, what are you going to do to me? The most you can do is kill me, and you can't even do that unless the Lord allows it. I got a wall of fire around me. So you're going to do this and do that. You're going to shoot arrows at me and do this, that. So what? Have a nice day. Is that all you got? That's what you should say to people when they abuse you. Is that all you got? That's it? Wow, that's nothing. Now, if you don't have Bible doctrine, yeah, it'll grind you up. You can't sleep. You got to smoke and go out and sublimate and drink and do whatever it is. You can't take it. You will fall apart. Oh, you can put up a front like you're not falling apart, but you know you're falling apart. And so glorify God when you get testing, because you only get testing in a very short period of time. It's called your life on this earth, and then that's it. That's it. I don't get enough tests. That's your attitude. It's like the Marines. Can you make it harder, please? It's not hard enough. 5 clicks, is that it? With 80 pounds? Dude, we need to go 10 with 160. Please? Air Force is like, you know, where's the, my remote control doesn't work. But that's your attitude. It's like, can we do, because you know it's for your own good. Because when you get into the reality of combat, the real world, that extra training is going to come in real handy. Real handy. Because you go into automatic behavior. It's pre-programmed. You know exactly what to do by repetition. So what is man going to do to you? Wonderful verse. And notice this verse has faith rest in it. God says, I will not forsake you. Claim that promise. If you're in a situation, you're a baby believer, you say, well, I don't know all these broad categories of Bible doctrine. Read that verse, concentrate on, I will never forsake you. And just relax as much as you can. I realize if you're a baby believer, you know, you can't relax for long periods of time. But you'll get there, because God will give you tests, and incrementally you'll get stronger and stronger. Joshua 8:1. Now the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear or be dismayed. In other words, don't be a coward or be dismayed. Point 6. Bible doctrine metabolized casts out emotional fear. Psalm 3:6, 2 Timothy 1:7, Psalm 56:11, Hebrews 11:27, Romans 8:15, Luke 8:25, Isaiah 12:2, Romans 8:15. For you have not received a spirit, pneuma, which is a spirit, which here it doesn't mean a human spirit, it means a mental attitude of slavery, leading to fear. And that's phobos again, which means dread, terror, being afraid. So that's not the spirit that God wants you to have in your soul. Again, or mental attitude would be a better translation. The word pneuma does mean Holy Spirit. It means human spirit. It also means a mental attitude. So you have not received a mental attitude of slavery leading to fear, again, but you received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba. Abba is an Aramaic word, which means father. This tells us, of course, that the Jews of Jesus' day, they didn't speak Greek. They spoke Aramaic. They wrote in Aramaic and they wrote in Greek. They could speak Greek, but their common language was Aramaic. That's why Christ spoke Aramaic. On the cross, he didn't. He spoke in the Aramaic when he screamed out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And so Luke 8:25, and he, Jesus, said to them, the disciples, where is your pistis? Where is your Bible doctrine? They were fearful, phobeo, afraid, dread, terror, and amazed, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey? Strongest word for obedience, hupakuo, which means to hear and obey him. So they weren't applying Bible doctrine, and that's what Christ was saying. Where's your Bible doctrine? Dudes, I've been teaching you day, every day, every day, every day. I gave you a little test. You didn't pass. You fell into phobos. You didn't fall into the positive side of respect for God and applying Bible doctrine. You went straight for the fear buddy, the panic palace. Push that button. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation, which means to deliver into the kingdom of heaven here. I will trust, batak, and not be afraid, for the Lord is my strength and song. And he has become my salvation. Here means delivering the believer from problems. Already saved. The word salvation, same word you might notice twice. We have the same in the Greek. Sozo and soterion. Sometimes it means stands for salvation into the. It means deliverance. You're delivered when you believe into the kingdom of heaven. But sometimes it's just used delivering you from a baby to a mature believer. So here the same thing in the Hebrew. The person's already saved in the first part of this verse. The second deliverance is not salvation. The Lord is my strength and song. He's become my person that delivers me from all the problems I have. Point 7. Love defeats emotional fear. 1 John 4:18, Hebrews 2:15, James 27:1. There is no fear. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. This is agape love, which is impersonal love. Impersonal love. And when I recorrect this, I'm going to put that that is impersonal love, because sometimes agape just means a general word for love. Here it means impersonal love. This is a problem-solving device. There is no fear in impersonal love, but perfect, teleos, love, agape, cast out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears, phobeo, which means to frighten, of course, is not perfected, teleo, in love. So the problem-solving device of love is a critical thing. And perfected means you're not complete. If you still have fear, you can't use the problem-solving device of impersonal love because you're afraid. So if you're not using impersonal love, then you're going to obviously be falling into phobeo, to fear, and to be frightened about every little thing. Oh my golly, somebody said something bad about me. Well, you just turn the other cheek. You know? That's impersonal love. I'm not afraid. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light. And that's not O-R. That word is or, which is Hebrew, which means the light of day. The Lord is my light of day and my salvation. Deliverance. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. And that's maos, which is a stronghold, a castle. The Lord is the castle of my life. Whom shall I dread? Again, we're seeing the same concept. I've got this gigantic castle called the Lord. You're going to send the armies against that castle? You can't do anything to me. Please. Point 8. The believer is commanded to be respectful when answering questions about Bible doctrine, 1 Peter 3:15, which says, but sanctify, hagiazo, which means to set apart to God, Christ, as Lord in your hearts, cardia, that's the brain, not your pump, it pumps blood. Always being ready, heto imos, which means to prepare ready, to make a defense, apologia, to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope, elpis. This is another problem-solving device that is in you. Yet with gentleness, pratos, mildness of disposition, and reverence, phobos, respect. Here the word phobos doesn't mean fear, it means respect. You respect other people. You respect other people no matter what their background is or their religious belief. Because at one time, we, before believers, we had certain beliefs and ideas. You don't jump up and call them names and say, oh, don't you know this, don't you know that. You do it with respect and mildness. And we all try to do this. Try to lose your temper with legalists that you're around. Do it with respect and mildness. And because they see the confidence that's in you. They know you're under pressure, for example. They observe you. And they say, well, why aren't you falling apart? Like Job, Job's friends. Remember that? They went to Job, and they didn't come there to support Job. They came there to watch him fall. And it frustrated them when he didn't fall apart at first. And then they used different ways to try to get at him. So when you have Bible doctrine, you're going to have confidence. Why are you so confident you're going to heaven? Because we know you. We saw you come out of Kelly's bar 2 weeks ago. And you were kind of staggering a little bit. And now you tell me you're going to heaven? And the grace of God is this, that, and the other. You will never understand grace, other than word and a song, until you can use the rebound technique without feeling guilty and without even batting your eye. When you can do that, you've arrived. If you can't do that, you need some more Bible classes. Because it's all about grace. If you go back and pick at that scab, you ever seen kids that pick at their scabs? Don't pick at the scab. Don't pick at the scab. They don't go back and pick at the scab. Don't pick at it. You name the sin and forget the sin and move on. But if you go back and pick at the scab and have guilt complexes, you don't understand grace. You don't believe it. Oh, I murdered 5 people. So you murdered 5 people. Father, I murdered 5 people. Boom, I'm back in fellowship. I mean, that's it. That's it. That's the grace of God. Who told you to feel sorry about it or to repent in terms of being, that's not the word metanoeo, it's metomelomai, to have an emotional experience. So you might have an emotional experience attached to your naming of your sin, but you don't dwell on it. You move very quickly along. So I'm not saying you never have emotion when you repent, but it's not necessary, and you do not dwell on it. You move along. When people look at you and say, I thought you were a Christian. I'm a Christian. Well, can you explain to me how you think you're still going to heaven, dude? And then you do it with gentleness and kindness and say, well, you know, here's the gospel. So again, that's a good gauge. If you can't apply that rebound technique as a daily process or whenever you need it and move on, you have not arrived. You don't understand grace. You don't. Grace means you don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't work for it. And that's what grace is. So, you know, get over yourself. Because people that can't get over themselves will never advance to maturity. They won't. Because it's all about me. No, it's not all about you. It's all about the grace of God and his mechanism. Now, it wasn't easy. If you want somebody to suffer, Christ suffered. You don't have to suffer. He suffered. So you don't have to, both in your salvation and in terms of your filling of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to wait until you reach a certain emotional jag before you can rebound and be filled with the Spirit and do a bunch of taboos and do the five steps before you can come back and be good with God and put a penny in the pot and whatever it is. The Bible doesn't say that. If it said that, I'd tell you we passed the plate so we could do it. But it doesn't, and we don't. Okay, so we have point nine, our last point. Fear, respect for the Lord and His Bible doctrine prolongs time on the earth. This is a good one. You want to live a long life? Here's the key. Proverbs 10:27, Exodus 20:12, Psalm 34:11-14, which says, Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear, respect of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. So you want to get to 80? There's how you do it. Well, I thought it was vitamins and the Miami Beach diet and all that. No, it's not how you get to a long life. And God cannot lie. Can God lie? No. So the respect of the Lord prolongs your life. But on the other hand, the years of the wicked, they're going to be shortened. Who's the wicked? The believer negative to Bible doctrine. They will be shortened. The sin unto death. And again, remember that verse? Why should you die a short life? Exactly. Rhetorical question. Exodus 20:12. Honor, which means to be honored, your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land in which the Lord your God gives you. So honoring the mother and the father, this is also a promise to the unbeliever as well as the believer under the laws of divine institution. That's why you see some cultures, you say, man, these people live a long time because they have a very deep respect for their parents. Deep respect for the parents. And that culture tends to have people that live a long time. And of course, this is a promise in the Word of God for the believer and the unbeliever. So we've already studied this before. Jesus, of course, was the oldest son. He didn't have a long life. But he respected his parents as no human ever respected their parents, as long as Joseph was alive, his legal father, and his mother. Well, why didn't he have a long life? Well, his blessing was transferred to who? Or whom? John. John lived beyond all the apostles. He lived in his 90s. And how do we know that? Because at the cross, first 3 hours, Jesus turned to John and said, woman, gune, behold your son. And then behold your mother. John took care of mother when Jesus died on the cross. And John was the one that took her into the household. It wasn't the half-brothers. No, isn't that interesting? Jesus is the oldest child. It's his responsibility. Did he pass it on to the half-brothers? Nope. Pass it on to John. And so John got the blessing. He got the blessing of a long life. The rest of the disciples, they didn't get that long life. Paul died in his 60s, early 60s. Okay. Psalm 34:11-14. Come, you children. Shema, which means to hear intelligently, to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. This is the respect for the Lord. Someone has to teach you. Someone had to teach me. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Let's all raise our hand. You know, I'm sure that's all of us, right? Well, we almost did the Baptist thing, started raising hands. Sorry about that. Who is a man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit, which means rebound. This is a horrendous sin. Wait till we get to the doctrine of sin, where God lists the seven worst sins. They're flapping at the gums, folks. Oh, man, those are bad sins. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart, which means to set aside from evil, ra, and do good, tob, divine good. Seek peace and pursue it. This is basically learn Bible doctrine and apply Bible doctrine. You'll live a long time. So, the doctrine of fear is a marvelous, wonderful doctrine that we can all relate to in the two categories. So we want the respect side. We don't want the phobos side. And both of them are related directly to your positive volition. And that's it. So none of us should be unhappy when we get to Hebrews 11, verse 6. the rewarder, you're going to get exactly what you... Well, actually, if you're positive to Bible doctrine, you'll get far more than what you put in. If you're negative to Bible doctrine, you're not going to get rewarded beyond your resurrection body. That's just the way it goes. So with our head bowed and our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for your divine comfort and your divine word, which provides that comfort. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us to have that respect for you that you command us, that we may move forward, that we will not fear what man can do to us, that we will recognize our union with your Son, Jesus Christ, and understand the marvelous salvation and deliverance that we have, and that we still have a mission on this earth because we are still alive, and we know that you will keep us alive to fulfill that mission and your will. In Christ's name, amen.